Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert brings a series of messages out of 1 Peter. So get close to your radio and have a Bible read and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, as we take a look in the book.
And then a lot of that, these groups, they have alcohol involved. Oh, my Lord. And whenever you have alcohol involved in a group and it ain't about Jesus, oh, you're getting ready to have some sin big time. And the thing about alcohol is just a setup drug. It's a drug, but it's a setup drug. And it's the oldest trick in the book, a setup drug for sex. Oh, I know I'm right about it. Let me go to the Bible with you. Look at Genesis 19 when you get home. Look at Genesis, write this down. Genesis chapter 19 when you get home. Lot had two daughters. And they felt like that they was going to be the last ladies on earth without a man. So they got their daddy drunk. The oldest one got the daddy drunk one night, had sex with him. The youngest daughter got him drunk the next night, had sex with him, ended up Lot had two babies by his own daughters. Why is that? Because he got drunk. Drinking is the setup drug to have some sex. That's why I don't endorse that. Amen. If it ain't about Jesus, I'm talking about it's got to be all about Jesus. See, a lot of folks, what they want to do, they want to sprinkle a little Jesus on top of it. Yeah, they want to put Jesus as like the icing on the cake, but the rest of the cake. Hello, somebody. See, think about rat poison. Rat poison is 98% cornmeal and stuff. It's the 2% of the poison that kill you. Hello, somebody. Matter of fact, that's what that banqueting and that abominable idolatry, that's what that's about. That's people doing the same thing, but they are in doing it in their religion. Yeah, yeah. See, the banqueting is really the drinking parties. But see, when you tie religion to it, they won't call it drinking anymore. They're going to just call it, oh, we're going to have a banquet. They dress it up. Yeah, when you get it in church, we don't call homosexuality homosexuality. No, it's just an alternative lifestyle. Yeah, and so we dress it up in the church, and we make our own self an idol. And that's why it's such an abomination to Almighty God, because you are still worshiping, but you're not worshiping the right God. See, when you're not worshiping God the right way, then that means you're worshiping God the wrong way, and whatever you are worshiping other than God has become your idol. Yeah. And God says it's an abomination, and it makes me sick. Yeah. And see, going back to this XX wine and the reveling, we think that's a new thing. But you know, when I used to look at these pictures back that you go to the museum and you see these pictures of in the Renaissance period of all these naked people. You're even seeing naked men's and women's piled up on each other. Naked women's piled up on each other. And we just going around, we looking at, oh, that's a good piece of art that, you know, Michelangelo did. Oh, that's really nice and everything. And we here looking at an orgy. That man done drawed a picture of an orgy, and we calling it art because it's hanging up in a museum. If mama saw that picture there in your house, mama would say, you can't bring that up in here. That ain't no art. That's an orgy going on. And listen, let me throw this in. Since they done okay this gay thing, you're going to see a lot of that in these fraternities and sororities. Yeah. See, at one time, people they were spanking that way, but they kept it in the closet. Now they're going to come all out the closet. Now it's coming all out. They're coming to the party looking for it now. Men's coming there looking for him, a man. Where the men's? If these are all the men's you got here, let's go get some more men's. Ain't no shame. And Peter talked about this a long time ago. But I ain't made it to my sermon. Let me get to my sermon today. That was just catching everybody up. That was to keep sin in the past. Tell somebody right quick, keep sin in the past. That's what you ought to be doing the rest of your life, keeping sin in the past. But let me get to my first point today right quick before time run out. Number two, keep God's judgment in your future. Keep God's judgment in your future. Look at what he says here in verse number 5. He says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that was dead, that they might be judged according to men's in the flesh, but according to God in the spirit. But the end, somebody say the end. Amen. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Look at that verse number 7 again. Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. Listen to this. Live your life with the end in mind. Don't live your life with today in mind or yesterday in mind, but live your life with the end in mind. Whatever you do, always think about, well, how is this going to measure up on judgment day? Live your life with the end in mind. Why do folks live such lascivious life? They're not thinking about judgment day. They're not thinking about the end in mind. Why do folks live with so much lust in their heart and chasing after lust today? It's because they are not living with the end in mind. Why do people have a drinking parties? They are not thinking about the end in mind. Why do people have all kind of sex and strange sex today? Because they are not thinking about the end in mind. Why do folks start their own churches, having gay churches and polygamous churches like the Mormon churches? Because they're not thinking about the end in mind. But when you start thinking about the end in mind, you ain't gonna be going out there having crazy sex. When you think about the end in mind, you ain't gonna be going around with fifths and 40 ounces. When you got the end in mind, because you're thinking about this body is not your body, but this body is the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't give you this body to be a chimney snack and go and smoke it up. He didn't give you this body to be a steel and then just drink it all up with alcohol. He gave you this body where he can dwell in and magnify himself in your life. Oh. So folks are not thinking about a judgment day. But Peter says that we need to be watching unto prayer. In the church, the problem is we done got off our knees and we ain't praying, but we dancing. We playing rather than praying. Hello, somebody. And if it's not fun anymore, we don't want to go unless we can have some fun. But some things it's not meant to have fun. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Listen, if you're going to get the devil out your life, you can't have fun and go play with the devil expecting to run the devil out your life. You got to get on your knees and pray that devil out your life. And see, our problem is we're watching so much television while the devil is stealing our children. He says you better be watching and praying at the same time. You see your wife act funny, don't go and try to talk to your wife. Go there and talk to God, because you ain't ready to talk to your wife until you done talked to God. He said you got to be watching and praying. Not playing, but praying. Lord have mercy. Look. You got to think with the end in mind. Look. There's two appointments that you got to be ready for. You got to be ready, number one, for your death date. You got an appointment with death. Yeah. And then after death, you got an appointment in God's courtroom. You done heard about Court Judy and the divorce court and family court, people's court. You got an appointment in God's court. Yeah, the Bible says appointed unto man wants to die. And then after that, courtroom. You stand before God, and you give an account. And God is so serious about this church that even after you are dead and gone, your works is still down here. God don't judge you right then. Why is that? Because your influence is still going on earth. So if you are going to influence somebody for bad, God is still counting the bad stuff. They're doing bad because you taught them to do bad. God is so serious about this that God said, I ain't gonna even let you stay in the grave forever. I'm gonna raise you out of the grave, put your spirit back in that body, and that body gotta come before me. See, whatever you do, you are setting it up for all of eternity. You think about Adam and Eve, they messed up in the Garden of Eden. And now we are suffering for it for all of eternity. You think about it. Sin has eternal consequences. That's why Jesus had to come as a man, but it had to be an eternal God to die for our eternal sins. Lord have mercy. You got to be ready. And the scary thing about it, you don't know when either of those appointments are. The appointments are already on God's schedule, already on his day calendar. But what about ours? Most people live like God don't even exist. They live a life. Oh, the Bible is full of stories about how people live like they're going to live forever. The Bible tells a story over in Luke chapter 12. About a rich farmer. This farmer had so much crops, so much food, he didn't know what to do. He said, oh, we, I got so much, I don't even have enough barns. What I need to do is tear down these barns, build bigger barns, and I can store my food, and I can sit back and enjoy my life, the rest of it, my life. I can just sit back, eat and drink, and be merry the rest of my years. But the Bible says on that very night that God called that man a fool. He said, you fool, tonight your soul is required of thee. See, that man must have thought he was in pretty good health that he was going to live the rest of his life. See, you don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. You can go home and sit down and go and drink your favorite beverages and die. That's what happened to that man. That man died. And he called them a fool. Why did God call that man a fool? Because he prepared for his crops, but he didn't prepare for his soul. Yeah. His crops had a place to stay, but he didn't have a place to stay. See, you can't stay here forever. You got to be preparing to leave this place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You got to make some preparation. See, the Bible even tells another story about another man over in Luke chapter 16. The Bible talks about a rich man, and he was eating sumptuously. Oh, he had a bunch of food. Every day. And the Bible says he dressed in purple. In other words, he was dressed like a king, raw people dressed in purple. And so he was dressing like a king. He was eating like a king. And the Bible says that he even stayed in a gated community, because the Bible says there was a man named Lazarus at his gate every day begging for some crumbs that fell off his table. And Lazarus must have been pretty sick, because the Bible says the dogs would come and lick his sores. Yeah, the man didn't have no Medicare or anything. The rich man didn't see about getting him some health care or anything. But the Bible says that one day Lazarus died. And the Bible says the angels came and took him away to paradise in Abraham's bosom. That's a picture of paradise. It didn't even make mention about this man's funeral. But the Bible says that the rich man died and was buried. In other words, he had a pretty big funeral. A lot of folks came out and paid their respect to him. But the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Yeah. And in hell, the Bible says, he looked over into paradise and he saw Abraham and Lazarus. He said, Abraham, Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to tip his finger down there in some water and just give me just a little bit of water there. Yeah, just a little finger, little finger full of water. And Abraham says, I'm sorry, I can't help you, because there's a great gulf between me and thee. Nobody on this side can go over there to the other side. And nobody on the other side where you at can come up here to this side. He said, don't you remember your lifetime? In your lifetime, you had good things. And Lazarus had evil things. But now the tables done been turned. Now Lazarus has got the good things, and you got the evil things. Listen, now why did that rich man go to hell and the poor man went to heaven? It wasn't because the rich man was so rich that he just, God don't like rich people. That wasn't why he went to hell. It wasn't that God just loved poor people and let that man come on to heaven. No. It wasn't that God hate the rich and love the poor. The reason that rich man went to hell is because he left God out of his life. Yeah, he didn't make no preparation for God. He didn't have God in his heart. How many of you know that's what worldliness is? Worldliness is keeping God out. Worldliness is leaving God out your life. See, you can't live a life without God expecting to go and live with God. See, that was his problem. See, there's going to be a lot of rich people going to hell, but there's going to be a lot of poor people going to hell, all because they left God out their life. See, if you want to go to heaven, then you need to make preparation and let God come and live with you today. And if you let him live with you today, then he'll let you live with him someday. Yeah. And so you got to, what to do the rest of your life? Keep God's judgment day. And see, the thing that makes me behave as a pastor is not that I'm a good pastor, I'm a godly pastor. No. I have Eve in my heart like everybody else. But I know that God is watching. And I know I got to give an account on judgment. See, the reason I'm not even no prosperity preacher and name it and claim it and blab it and grab it is because I know I got to give an account for how I preach this word. I give an account on judgment day. Oh, in other words, I got to keep the end in mind. But let me go and give you the second thing here. And this is it. Keep serving God in your present. Keep serving God in your present. So this whole passage done taught us three things. Number one, you keep sin in your past. Is I'm right about it? Yes. And then the second thing that we have learned, and what is the, which is the first thing today, is to keep God's judgment in your future. But you keep serving God in your presence. Look at what Peter says here in the text. Are you with me, Bible way? He says in verse number 8, and above all things, have fervent charity. And that word charity means love. Among yourselves. Somebody say yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Notice what he says. Have hospitality. Somebody say hospitality. Hospitality. One to another. Say one to another. Without grudging. And every man has received the gift. Even so minister saying one to another. Say one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, above all things, have fervent love. Have fervent love. You know what that word fervent means? It's not only just mean hot, but it means to scratch out kind of love. It's just like a runner. When a runner is running a race and when they get close there to the finishing line, what do? They scratch out. They scratch out as they're crossing the line. Somebody else getting ready to beat them up. Before they beat them, they scratch out. They scratch out. That's what you got to do in your love. Some of you are getting beat by the devil and your relationships. That's because you're trying to wash your way in. Yes, it is. Most husbands, they run hard trying to catch their wife. Once they catch their wife, most of the time that wife got to reach and grab them and say, come on, baby. He done got lazy now. He's sitting down. You got to scratch out. Scratch out. Because if you ain't scratching out, somebody else is still running. See, if you don't want us, somebody else will. You got to scratch out in your love. And the Bible says that kind of love covers a multitude of sin. You ain't just focusing on a person's fault and they done this, and then yesterday they done this, and then last week they done this, and the first of the year they done this, and then see last Christmas they done this and done all of that. No, you're not focusing on that. You're covering up the sin. You know, a good illustration of that in the Bible was Noah's two sons. Remember Noah? Had a vineyard. Oh, and that vineyard got the best of him. See, Noah was trying to be a social drinker. Hello, somebody. And Noah ended up getting drunk. And when you end up getting drunk, a feeling come over you. To start pulling off your clothes. Hello, somebody. I know what I'm talking about. A feeling come over him. And the Bible says that his younger son saw it.
Bread of life, sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.